Well, turn your Bibles, if you will, to 3 John. Very familiar passage in this place. 3 John, chapter 1, because it's only one chapter. And let's look at verse 2. You should know this one. If not, you'll learn it. You'll become more familiar with it as you do what the word says. Amen. 3 John, chapter 1, verse. Well, let's just begin with verse 1. The elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. See, truth is important. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So here is a principle being taught that we need to dig a little bit deeper. If you've already got it in your archives, great. But let's dig a little bit deeper in 2024. Here's a principle being taught that can be applied to every area of our lives. What is that principle, Pastor Diana? The principle is, if my soul is in lack about anything, in any area, so in that area of my life, I'm going to suffer loss because of the ignorance that is in that area. You understand? Not because you're stupid, but because you don't know or you haven't applied what you've heard. See, when you hear the word taught, you say, well, I don't have that situation going on in my life. That's not the point. The point is you're supposed to implement it when you hear it. If you start, it's kind of like when you start learning how to ride a bike. You get up and you do it not because you got a whole lot of experience at it or you're not even trying to do certain things. You just get up and do it and practice it until you get what? Good at it. So when somebody challenges you, you can ride a bike. See, the goal is to not get you in a place. The goal is to put you in a position that when you have to fight, you can fight. Because a war is on. And your time to fight is coming. You're already in the war. So the principle is, if my soul is in lack about any area, so in that area of my life, I'm going to suffer loss because of my own personal ignorance in that area. So any subject that you don't have proper understanding about, you will lack in that area. Any area that you don't have proper understanding about, you will lack in that area. And that's so key. Because we say, listen, on social media, you're going to hear a whole lot of trash this year. So much stuff going to come out in the next 6 months. You're going to be wondering, should I even, not in this place. But people are going to start wondering, what's the point of going to church? Everybody's sinning. Everybody falling. Something happening. Don't you fall in that. Don't you fall into that. The word is your anchor. Amen. Not a person. Not a celebrity. Not even your pastor. They're not your anchor. You should be able to trust your pastor. They should live a life of holiness. They should have standards that they live by so you can follow them. But should they fail, your anchor should be in the word. So now also in this passage, there are 3 steps that are given here to obtain and maintain a prosperous life. See, the goal is to make you prosperous, not just have money. And every time we hear the word prosperous, all we think about is money. That's not God's goal, because money is the lowest form of prosperity. And we make that our ultimate goal when that's not the target. Money will find you when you're prosperous in other areas. Oh, yes, it will. It'll find you because it's been assigned to you. Say, money has been assigned to me. But it's waiting. Come on, say it. But it's waiting on me to be prosperous in these other areas. Oh, I'm going to tell you about those areas, so hold on. Number one, your soul must take on new or the original thoughts of God as to why you need money. The money, yes, I know. You just want to come out of debt. Praise the Lord, everybody want to come out of debt. I want to be out of debt. But that is not the ultimate goal. It's for you to just be personally out of debt. If you don't have a plan to reach the lost, being out of debt doesn't create anything for the kingdom. You're still a target. Because you don't have any plan to do anything else with the money. And what you do, you end up going back in some more trouble. Because you're going to buy stuff you don't need. And you're not going to utilize the money. If God got you out of debt, you're not going to utilize the money correctly. Because you're not planning right now to change the way people see God. What money is supposed to do, because you have the money. See, you got to get the idea of what is money supposed to look like to a person based on who I am. Am I mimicking the world? Am I going to be just like the world and be so flashy? I'm not against people looking good, because, you know, I believe in looking good. I believe in smelling good. I teach you that all the time. I believe you should have a standard of excellence where you look a certain way that people don't know you any differently than that. But at the same time, don't let that be the only reason that you want to prosper. It's just so you can look good. What am I supposed to do with this money? Before I take money and begin to spend it, have I ever asked God, what am I supposed to do with this money you put in my hand? If there is an inheritance that's given to me, what do you want me to do with this money? It was passed down to me for a reason, not just so I can consume it all on myself. People going to hell, and we have no plans to redeem them. I've heard people say, you can't really make yourself personally responsible for everybody getting saved. You don't read your Bible. We are the salt of the earth, the Bible declares. And if you lost your ability to savor, what good are you? If you can't impact nobody, what good are you? Aha. If everything is being consumed on just you, what good are you to the kingdom? Then number two, your giving must line up with the transformation or the renewal of your soul as to why you need money. So in 2024, you're believing God for big money to come in your way, then you got to check and make sure your soul is in alignment with why God will give you the money. See, these things got to be in compliance for money to show up the way we're calling for it. Then number three, as a result of the first and the second steps, your financial portfolio will become strong and healthy. Because money will find you. See, but the Bible declares that money answers all things. That means money has an assignment to answer as you need it, because you are being prosperous spiritually and mentally. You can't be flaky and think God gonna pour a lot of money on you. It's not gonna happen. So what is prosperity? The world's definition, I'm going to give you their definition first, of prosperity is financial power, political favor, social favor and status, and military might. Now, although none of these things are wrong to have, it's the motive. Say, it's the motive. Say, it's the motive that God questions. You're supposed to have influence. Because money will give you influence. You're supposed to walk in power. That's what you've been called unto. You are a people of power. You're supposed to have political influence in politics. We're not supposed to run away from politics and leave it to the world. And you know, it's kind of sad when you see Christians fighting against a man that got principles and morals based on the word. I, I think is ludicrous. You'd rather have a man that'll cheat, steal, lie, do all kinds of immoral things in a spot that of influence rather than a Christian. I talk to people, only quite nobody in this church like that. But I talk to people, and you start telling me, well, I'm so glad we got the new such and such in office, and he's standing on the word. Yeah, well, because they'd rather have somebody in office that would just lie to them. I'm not talking about sinners saying this. I'm talking about people that say they love the Lord. You'd rather have a thief than a man of integrity. Something wrong with your born again. You need to go back and check yourself. So that's the world's definition of prosperity. And none of that is wrong. We're supposed to have those things. But it's the motive that God is questioning. Now, true prosperity is the ability. You might want to write it down. I'll say it twice just so you can get it. True prosperity is the ability to access God's resources and power to meet the needs of mankind. So true prosperity is saying, I got a plan in place to meet the needs of somebody else. It goes beyond my personal boundaries. True prosperity is the ability to access God's resources. See, you don't get access to God's money any kind of way just because you say, I signed up in the army. Put my name on the roll. You know how they used to sing the song when they come in. I got my name on the roll. I don't even remember the song, but it's something about a roll call. But anyway, sign me up, all that kind of stuff for the Jubilee. But anyway, no matter how you say you signed up, God done give you access to his money any kind of way. Now, how many of y'all would give your children access to all of your money and you know they're going to spend it on Creighton? You know what? I shouldn't ask that because we got some backwards thinking people today. Up is down and down is up. So, but I asked the question anyway, just for the sake of those who still live in a balance and got good sense. How many of you would give your child access to your bank account and they can't even write a check? They don't know how to count. And all they're thinking about is buying toys and bubble gum. And you say, okay, take my card, take my, and you say, I already called the bank, told the bank, give you whatever you want. See now, if you got that much sense not to do that, give God a little more credit than you. Okay, so he's not going to give you access to his resources just because you belong to him. So ask yourself this. Can I get God's resources based on my current mental health? Would God trust me with his money based on my current mental health? Because he might not do it. Will God give me or trust me with his money based on how I think, talk, and believe? Because all those things affect your mental health. Based on my current mental health, can God trust me with $1 million? Can he give me carte blanche to all of his resources? Oh, this is going to help you this morning. Make you think. See, you must see and understand that God's desire, according to 2 Corinthians 9:8, go on and turn there because I know we are Bible people. So we got to read it. See it for yourself. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Look at verse 8. Very, very familiar passage. We got to understand, according to this scripture, what God is able to do and what God wants us to become. Watch this. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you or ye always have an all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. So what's the goal? The goal is to make you sufficient, so that you can help in all good things. Oh, hold on. I know we like the other part where he said he'll multiply the seed sown. We like that part. But he said the reason I'm going to do that is so that you can aid in good things. It was never designed for you to put it in your house and to go no further. We got to lose that mentality. We are so protective of just us that we don't see the need to begin to change the way we do stuff. See, let me tell you, giving is supposed to bring a change in your life. You're not supposed to be a tither and a giver, and your heart and your mind don't change. You need to check how you're tithing and giving. Because if you're tithing and giving based on the word and you're planting the word, something has got to change in the way you see life, the way you do business. Something has to change. The word has that assignment unto you to fix you, change you, to reroute you if necessary. So the goal is to make you sufficient where you become the distributor to help others. Now you got to get a plan according to that. Now ask yourself this, am I really planning for prosperity? Am I setting my house in order so prosperity can come to me? Because if you still can't regulate your keys, you still not doing stuff that, according to what is good for your household. See, sometimes we live right on the edge because we got more to maintain than we should have at this time to maintain. I know. Well, I need a car. No, they got a bus line. They got Ubers. They got taxes. You don't have to have all the vehicles that people think they need. The world gave us this thing that we got to have it. Now, I know you say, I can't get to where I need to go. Okay, you might need a car for your business, whatever. But is that car a problem when it comes to you reaching out to somebody? Can God use your car? Then God can't pay for your car. That's your car. You took it out of the kingdom family and you made it your personal vehicle. So you are personally responsible for it. God has no obligation to take care of your car, that car, when you're not going to use it for the kingdom. Everything I have gets used for the kingdom. That's why I don't have to take care of none of it. I'm trying to help y'all to reroute so you can get out of this flakiness that the world has painted us. The way we live, the way we think. We got to move away from that because the kingdom is so different from the world. So what am I doing apart from my giving that would deliberately create change in me? Because giving is supposed to change you. It's supposed to change you first before it changes your circumstances. And what we're doing, we're not changing, but we want God to flood us with money. No, giving is supposed to change you first. It's supposed to raise you up to God's level of thinking. That's what giving does. And if giving, your giving is not influencing you mentally and spiritually, maybe you're not giving enough or you are not really giving. You're just participating. Because giving changes you. It changes every facet of your life. Ooh, Jesus. Are my words and my actions in agreement with God's word and actions? You know, they used to wear the bracelet. I don't know if they still sell them. What would Jesus do? How many of you know there's an action that God would do that sometimes we won't do? So am I planning or am I deliberately looking at the word and saying, you know what? You don't have to do that way no more. And I mean, when God began to challenge me about my own personal health. See, let me tell you something. You can't get but so far if your body not cooperating. Now, I ain't throwing no shade on nobody because I've been there where you are. But I know what it takes also to come away from it. And it means I got to deliberately change. And I got an arsenal of what to do, what not to do, how to do this, where to go, do this exercise, do that. I could pull up a whole lot of stuff that I learned over the years. But what good was it? If we don't implement it. So are my words and my actions in agreement with God's word and actions? What would God do in your circumstance? How would God talk in your circumstance if you're going to obey that bracelet? How would God talk in your circumstance? What are you saying different than what God would say? Because that might be keeping money away from you. Listen, in order to use someone else's resources, you must first, agree to their terms as to why they should release money to you. See, it's not about what you need as much as it is their terms, because you need their money. When you go to the bank, they don't care what you need. They want to know if you can fulfill their terms. They don't want to know why you think you need it. That's not as much interest to them as can you fulfill the terms of this contract? And that's the only reason they're asking you how much money you make. Because now they're qualifying you whether or not you are capable of fulfilling the terms. They don't care if you bought a chicken dinner or a car with the money. They want to know, can you fulfill the terms? Because it's a contract. So we're in a covenant. God said, are you willing to fulfill the terms of the covenant so I can release money to you? Because going into 2024, I'm looking for great wealth and riches to be in my house. It's already there, but I'm looking for it to mount up and to be a why. Because the gospel, people are hurting. People are hurting. And people are acting out. They're doing dumb stuff because they don't know Jesus. And the church is losing this battle because we're not praying like we should. We're not believing for people anymore. We're believing for us. The other day, this is Sunday, Friday morning, I woke up and it was like I could hear this voice saying, Mama, Mama, like a plea of help. And I got up out of the bed. I know ain't nobody in the house with me, but it was so clear I could hear it. Mama. And I began to pray. I said, I don't know who I'm believing for. See, when God is trying to get you up to pray, you better get up and pray. Somebody's life might be in danger. I don't know who I intercepted. And I prayed until I got released. And it didn't matter that I had to stay up. I can go back to sleep. Why? Somebody's life is in danger. When are we going to get that back to that place where we care about people more than we do things? The church became carnal because we put our focus on things instead of God's greatest commodity, and that's people. Because our old way of thinking about money, if they do not match God's mind about money, you're going to suffer lack in this area continuously. And you say, I'm tithing and giving. Why is not working? You just answered yourself. It's not working because of the way you think. Look at 2 Corinthians. Already there, look at verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. For every man, according as he has purposed. See, that means there's a resolution. There's a resolved position or place in your heart that you have already predetermined that I'm going to give, and I'm not going to do it grudgingly, and I'm not going to do it out of coercion, because God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. If your giving has been one out of anxiety, you've been limiting your God. So then giving sparingly is not a shortage of funds, but the result of an impoverished mindset. It's not that you don't have money to give. It's the way you think. When a person gives sparingly, it is because they lack word in this area and find it hard, say hard, to come into agreement with the word, because their needs are their priority. That's their priority. And it's hard to come into agreement to give beyond this little point right here. I can't see myself giving more than $2, even though I have more than $2 to give. You say, are you begging for my money? No, never have, never will. I'm trying to help you so you have money. And it'll never stop coming in your house. So when a person gives sparingly, it's because they lack word in this area, or they find it hard to come into agreement with the word. Why they have this hard time? They are afraid for themselves that they will not have what they need, which means they don't understand Matthew 6:33 at all. And then there are three realms that get affected when true prosperity is realized. True prosperity consists of more than just money, but the whole, say the whole. Say it again, the whole. Man is impacted. When true prosperity is realized, the whole man becomes impacted, not just your money. There is spiritual prosperity. Look at Luke 4. And let's look at verse 18. Because there is an assignment that Jesus left us. And when true prosperity is realized, watch this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, so that means you're not counted among the poor. The poor is poor because they don't have the gospel. So those that are born again, when you have the gospel, poverty should not be your legacy. Oh. You're not supposed to be that struggling Christian for the last 30 years, 40 years you've been born again. Something is missing in your diet. Something is missing. It's called the word. The applied word. He says, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and receiving of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this is the same assignment that's been handed down to us. So when we grow up in these areas spiritually, when this becomes our priority, when this becomes your priority, when this becomes your priority, now we're really, really begin to be spiritually astute. We begin to grow up spiritually because we're making that a priority. Because that's the assignment that's been left us, right? So spiritual prosperity, yeah, you're born again, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, and it allows you to, allows you and I to become an effective witness. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be an effective witness, not a skeptical witness. Too many, most Christians are skeptical because they're afraid that if somebody asks them something, that they don't know what to say or do. Is that that person's fault? So if I'm ministering to you and I'm full of the Holy Ghost, even if I don't know something, he can begin to speak through me if I'm trusting him. Because why? I'm on assignment. He's not going to let me be embarrassed on the assignment when I'm trusting on him. And he's going to make sure that I can say it in a manner that the person will receive it. Sometimes we try to be so loaded up with so many scriptures that you're drowning in conversation because you don't know how to touch the people by the Spirit. Jesus was excellent. That's why he used so many parables, because he knew how to touch the everyday lives of people. You can't throw the whole book at people when you're trying to minister to them. You can't teach a sinner this word. You got to give them the life from the word. Because it's impacted you. It's made a difference in you spiritually. You can't give what you don't live. So if this is not your everyday life, you can't give life to a sinner. We should be able to convince one person to follow us into the kingdom because of our spiritual prosperity. Even Jesus wasn't satisfied with him being the only righteous one. That's why he died. So he died to himself, and thereby many were born again, including you and I. So we are not supposed to be satisfied with just our being born again. You've been satisfied too long with just your being born again. I'm going to push you out of the tree. Not out of the nest. I'm throwing you out the tree. The nest been gone. You just laying on the limb now. Because you're not a baby. The nest was for the babies. You're not supposed to be a baby. You want the results of an adult, then become one. And stop just shooting your age. Age ain't never meant you were grown. It just means you got old. Read the book of Job. The young man of God in there, he says, I thought wisdom was the young. He said, but I found out that being old don't make you smart. Then secondly, there should be mental prosperity. Look at Philippians 4. Are you learning? Philippians 4. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. He's telling you what to think on. Whatsoever things of a good report. He didn't tell you to go and fill up on Oprah. And then spit out your mouth what she just said. He didn't tell you go fill up on the latest gossip. He telling you, he said, if there's any good report, Where are you going to find a good report? In the Word. Where are you going to find what's honest? In the Word. Where are you going to find what's just? In the Word. What's pure? What's lovely? It's in the Word. It's the only thing you can depend on to be straight. He says, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue or if there's any excellence, if there be any praise, think on these things. Not let them be a bypassing moment, but make them the way you think all the time. When you hear some bad news, somebody was trying to share something with me about a pastor in another state. I told him, I said, I really don't want to hear that. Because if you're not praying for him, you shouldn't talk. Because you don't know if what you're hearing is all accurate yet. Leave it alone. Don't touch it with your mouth. God got a way of dealing with his own children. And when your spanking time come, you don't want nobody talking about you and making fun of you. Oh, you got a spanking. See, you don't want that to happen. Oh, but it's fun to take pot shots at somebody that's in the limelight. And as Christians, we should not want to see somebody fall. It should begin to be a time to say, you know what, I got to intercede because I really don't know. Something missing, something happened that made that person do that. I got to make sure, first of all, that I'm not doing it. Just because I'm not in the spotlight don't mean I'm not sinning. You know, y'all got them little secret sins. He says, but if you think according to the word, what's going to happen? The peace of God. The peace of God will be on you, in you, and in your house. That has everything to do with how your house functions. The way you think. If you always cluttered in your mind and you always live right on the edge, everything, oh, I forgot this and I forgot that. Oh, this, that. You're always cluttered. You need to get in this word. It'll bring peace to you. It'll unclutter your mind. Ooh, Jesus. So there's mental, there's spiritual and mental prosperity. The word will keep you mentally balanced in an unbalanced world. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. I'll be closing in just a little bit because I know y'all ready to go home and have a party. Because it's New Year's Eve. And you came to church because this is what you're supposed to do. And then you got this little short laid up here in these 3-inch heels trying to tell you something. And you got, I got company coming over on your mind. That's why the peace of God ain't in your house. Okay. Because you sitting in church thinking about your party. Watch this. Confess your faults. See, we leave that out. Confess your faults. This bringing peace now, one to another, and pray one for another. That's how you get healed when there's been any schism or any mind situation been going on. Whenever the devil start begin to mess with your mind, find somebody to pray for. Shut him right down. You see, it didn't say you had to be in their face to pray one for another. It said begin to pray one for another. Confess your fault. Lord, forgive me for even thinking wrong about sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. They don't even know I thought that way about them. But I bring it to you, and I'm going to pray for them right now. And I diligently pray for them. I ask that you increase them, cause them to prosper, cause them to be healed in their body, whatever their situation may be. I'm praying now. Then I begin to pray in tongues. Why? Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man creates much power. Instead of you dividing, we should pray one for another. Why? Because our praying one for another creates an atmosphere of power. Mm. Now God can get involved. This is why most Christians are so flaked out. Oh, I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm just so this and I'm just, oh, girl, this has been a busy day. I'm about ready to throw some of these Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I wish I could get a big garbage can and throw them all in there and set them afire. Because most people use them are useless to the gospel. You've made that your only ministry. They don't know you, and you don't know them. You have no investment in them, and they don't have any investment in you. We're just saying words one to another. Woo. I don't like it. We have to use it because it's our time. It's the era that we live in. But if I had my choice, get on the street. Go to your neighbor next door. That's the way I learned. My mama and other seasoned women of God, they would take us, the new converts, and take us door to door. And when there was somebody sick in the church, we went to their house and we cleaned their house and we fixed food and we babysat and we prayed for them. That was mission work. That was ministry. Most people in the church have no clue of what day-to-day ministry is. If you ask some people, look, go help sister so-and-so, you know, they just, some might have happened to them. And we go help one time, we think we've done our due diligence. Then you got some to understand. See, it's about your mental health, because you don't ever know when you might come under attack. So you need to do some things. Then there's physical prosperity. According to 1 Peter 2:24. Now we got to make this a priority. See, all three of these areas have to become in balance. They have to come in balance. Why? Because you have a mandate to become sufficient to aid in all good things. 1 Peter, you ought to know it by memory, but you don't eat by memory. So let's go look at this word. 1 Peter. Looking right at it and bypassing. You look at the scripture and bypass it. 2:24. I could quote it to you, but let's read it. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, should live unto righteousness according to right standing, by whose stripes ye were healed. So now if I'm already healed, then the goal is to get my body to demonstrate health, which means I got to take dominion over the body. Now, I'm not telling you to go sugar-free, but you need to throw some of that mess away. You need to go through your pantry and stop buying the cookies. It's all trash. You already know that's a trigger. But why we keep going to the store and buying them? Because the flesh is weak. And you're going to have for a rainy day. You know, when you don't get the word in you just right, and you feel like you're going to sit down and you're going to eat a cookie. See, I can talk. Been there. But you got to take dominion over your health so that when you go to the doctor, you can ask the doctor pertinent questions instead of letting them just giving you a shot, giving you a prescription, and you go get a field and you don't even read. You don't ask, well, what is this supposed to do for me? And now that the way it is, you can take one pill can do for three diseases. You don't know which one is really working on. All you know is in your body. And we settle for that. When I was coming up, parents didn't want to go to the doctors like they do today. Those old remedies still work. Y'all might not like them, but they still work. I don't care. They still work. When we had colds or attack of the flu, they didn't care as no doctor and give us no liquids and all that stuff. Man, my mother had, they call what they call these belly bands. I had the flu one year, and she put an onion poultice in there. with vinegar and a fresh onion and tied it around my navel. And then she wrapped me up and I slept. And when I got up the next morning, the fever was broke. Let me tell you something. The fever was gone. And the onions were totally limp because they had drawn all the fever out of the body. You said, what? Yeah, but you were so busy giving your child now. Do you not know if you give them Tylenol, the liquid Tylenol for fever, it has to raise it before it lowers it? So if you're already at 102, what danger are you putting your child in giving them the liquid Tylenol? You need to read the bottle. It still says it's going to elevate it before it bring it down. So don't wait till 102 if you're going to give them stuff. Maybe I shouldn't have said the name, but we can't take it out now. But that's the one I used, you know, when we were coming up. That was very prominent. Give your children the liquid Tylenol. No, I gave my children Mutt and Tyler. They couldn't stand it. You know what that is? That's the fat from the lamb. We take the fat and you cook it down real low until you get all the oil out of it. You let it cool, you put it in a jar, and then you can warm it up and give it to them by mouth. Tastes like castor oil, if you ever had castor oil. It tastes very close to castor oil. And then I would take it and use it as a salve on their chest. Wrap them up, but guess what? The congestion was gone. See, y'all depend too much on medicine because we've abandoned what God gave us as a way of living. Because that takes too much of application. I can swallow this and go on out the door, but it's not creating health. And if you read the side effects of most of your medicine, I can't understand why you want to live on it. Woo. See, now you are physically prospering when your mind has been elevated to the place you no longer tolerate sickness on any level. Now, I'm coming out. What it looked like, you're not coming in the door. I'm not letting you in my house. You're not gonna invade my body like that. Mm-mm. You're not going to do that to me anymore. Nope. And if I got to throw you, the cookie, and the flour, everything else in the trash, goodbye. You say, do you eat something during that day? Yeah, I do. But guess what? In moderation. I buy just enough that when I want some ice cream, I buy just enough for one serving, and it's no longer in the house. So you got to learn how to do stuff in moderation. Why? You're creating physical prosperity. You can't sit down and eat everything that you ate years ago. You just can't do it. Because the stuff that they're poisoning our food. You need to go to the website where they have already recalled over 86 different foods. And since October. And some of this stuff they knew back in January, but they wouldn't release it to the public until October. Because it's all about money. They're finding plastic in some of the products. They're finding glass in some products. And salmonella is on the rampage again. All kinds of stuff. You got to stop taking for granted that they care about you. The world don't like you. And if they love you too much, something wrong. Check your spiritual and mental health when the world is in favor for you too much. Could there be, they're not saying they should hate you just because they want to hate somebody. But Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They're not going to like the way you live because it's so different. It affects their ability to what I call snowball people. When you live holy before them, they know they can't get over on you. All right. Get ready to come to a close. Everything God does to and for us, he is expecting us to be prosperous in it so that we are able to disperse to others. So what did we learn today? That God saved us, God delivered us, and God has already healed us, and he's put money at our disposal. Why? To change the lives of others. Ooh. So now God has made me just as responsible and able as he made Jesus. And it takes living in balance in all three areas to become whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. Ooh, Jesus. So as we're about to leave the year 2023 and go into 2024, ask yourself these questions. How many people will I touch with the gospel in 2024? How many people will be healed and set free because I went to them? Will my giving match my expectations of questions 1 and 2? And having a strong mind to prosper is developed in me as I maintain fellowship with the Holy Spirit and put in the word in myself. Why? I say it again. Because we have the same ability and responsibility as Jesus did to reconcile the world. We are reconcilers. And we got to come out of poor health, a poor mind, and a poor spiritual life in order to reconcile the world. Did you learn anything this morning? Come on, stand to your feet.